Hey, church family. My name is Caleb.
And I'm Ava.
And we're so glad you decided to join us for church today. Ava, what do we have coming up?
Your next steps here, I only believe, is Growth Track. Right after service on the first Sunday of each month, Growth Track invites you to connect, learn, and discover how you belong here. You'll hear about the history and the vision of Only Believe, and you'll learn about your God-given gifts and how you can use them in meaningful ways. Growth Track is all about helping you know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and to make a difference. There's lunch and childcare provided, so all that's left for you to do is to come ready to grow. To sign up, you can scan the QR code on the bottom of the screen, or you can head right on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get signed up there. We cannot wait to grow with you.
Hey everyone, Pastor Randy and Pastor Nicole here. And Easter is quickly approaching, and we have three amazing services that we want you to attend.
The first one is the Friday night reflection of Passover. We're excited about this. We do have childcare at 6 p.m. And then we're gonna follow that up on Sunday morning at 7 a.m. with a sunrise service outside. Dress warm, there'll be coffee and cocoa, but we're gonna do it just like they did.
That's right. And then our last service will be Sunday at 10 a.m. where we're gonna celebrate with the whole congregation. And we're gonna celebrate, of course, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
We're looking forward to joining our family with your family this Easter. Come on out and join us as a church.
We will see you there.
At Only Believe, we know that prayer has the power to totally transform our lives. And that is why we do First Saturday Prayer at the beginning of each month. This 1 hour gathering is a time for us to come together, seek God, worship together, hear an encouraging word, and pray both personally and corporately. It also gives you the opportunity to head down to the altar and pick up a prayer card and pray over the needs of others in our church family. So set your reminders, invite a friend, and come ready to pray as a church family. We cannot wait to spend the morning with you.
Hey church family, Pastor Tim here. I'm excited to announce Serve Day 2026. Now right now what we're doing is we're letting you know about all the projects that we want to do this year. And what we need from you is to go take a look at all the projects and then sign up for the one that you would like to help serve in. Now we have a lot of projects and there's two ways that you can find out about them. The first is by utilizing the QR code on the screen right now. If you go to that QR code, it'll take you to a page that'll list all of the different projects, or you can visit our Serve Day displays in the main lobby or in the hallway heading towards Children's Church. You'll see flyers with information about each individual project that includes a QR code to a short video giving you a little bit of an explanation about that individual project, as well as a QR code to sign up for that project. So make sure you take your time to go look at them. Each project depends on you. If we don't get volunteers, we can't do the project. So please go take a look and pick the ones that resonate the most with your heart. Everyone can make a difference. Let's make a difference together.
Here at Only Believe, we put out invite cards on the pews and out in the lobby to make it really easy for you to grab them and invite someone you know to come to church with you. So be praying about who God would lead you to invite to come to our next service.
And as always, for more information on groups, events, or ways to get connected here at Only Believe, you can head right on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get all of your questions answered. Now, let's prepare our hearts and our minds as we dive into God's Word today.
Good morning, church. How are we this morning? Amen. Serving the Lord, amen. Just stand to your feet for a minute. I felt the presence of the Lord so strong in the house this morning. Father, we just come before you this morning. God, we lift up our hands, God, without wrath and without doubt to you, Father, looking to connect, Father, in spirit and in truth this morning with you. God, we exalt you high above anything else in our life. We exalt you above problems, above sickness, above disease, God, above dysfunction in our families. God, we exalt you and we say thank you, Father. It's Palm Sunday. We exalt you, God. We extol you, for you are above all things in our life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You can have a seat. I just felt that there are some situations in our church that God gave us the answer to this morning. You know, through those words, if you look at it, he literally wrote us a plan. He said that if you'll come to me, some of you are asking, where am I in your situation? Where am I? And I'm here. I'm in the midst of you. Ask everything you need. I am here. Come. Come. That was the first word. Something summarized, but that's it. Summarized. The next one. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of you feel like there's not much hope in this situation. And that David was walking amongst a graveyard. People that have already died. And he's walking through it thinking, am I the next to die? Because my son Absalom is chasing me. And then he gives us, oh, but there's some of you that think, I can't go into your past. I can't grab what happened as a kid and redeem that and fix that. But God is saying, though that be the situation, I am not exempt from that neither. Amen. Whew! Church, that's beautiful. Starting the Holy Week, he comes to lay down his life for you and I. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Is there someone that can say, I exalt you, God, higher than my yesterday. I exalt you higher than the sickness that I face. I exalt you in spite of the financial difficulty that has beset me. I exalt you in spite of what my children are choosing. Come on. I exalt you, oh God. Whew. I just love how he shifts the service and wrecks it and turns it into what he wants. Ashley's in the hallway out there, and she said, that was on my list for next week. So, well, imagine that. On Palm Sunday, he'd turn it around and make it all about him. I love it. Make it about you, Jesus. All right, I want you to look to your right or your left. Nope, on the pew. On your pew. Mom, to the right or the left of your pew. Yep. There's a little card on your pew, and it's got the face of Jesus. Now, listen. Yep. And I need you to give that to someone this week. Yep, if you don't have them, ushers, hop up. Give me more. There's not enough on every pew for everyone, so someone get me some and start passing them out if we need them. I want everyone in this house to have one of these cards. And here's why. It's not good enough that your church believes that the gospel is only for us. We believe in saving the world and inviting the world. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've had to get a little out there with my invite card because I've hit the same woman at Walmart. Every time, and I don't remember once I hit them, I just hit them and run. And this lady, before I came to her line, I'm unloading, and the lady's in front of me, and she says, you already invited me to church. And I said, oh, and she said, not once. Not twice, but three times. And I'm like, well, it looks to me like one for Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. You best get yourself to church. Amen. And she said, well, I don't have Sunday off. I said, that's all right. We've got a Good Friday service, and I'm sure you've got Friday off. And she said, I do. Listen, you got to get a little creative with how you give these out and where you give them. Don't be afraid to put them on your gas pump, something, but I want you to invite someone. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to invite someone. Okay, now you can't lie. I trapped you right there. Now you got to find someone to give your card to. And those of you that didn't, you're smarter. All right, my name is Pastor Nicole, and I am glad that you're here today, and I just want to say thank you for coming out. If it's your first time here, thank you. Thank you for making this your place that you would come to abide today. God's been good to us already. Honestly, if it wasn't for the word that we need to share, we could close our Bibles and say, God has been good to us. Amen? Baptisms, worship, and just speaking to us so openly. We're going to go ahead and dive into another 7 I am statements today. These are important because Christ is revealing another part of his character to you and I. And this is important because he's not just talking. He's not just saying, hey, yeah, this is who I am. He's declaring his self-existence. You understand that? Nobody magically made him appear. He always was. That's who he is. He's deity. He's divine. He is life. And he's declaring these seven statements about himself because no one else can make this eternal statement that he's making. These are all eternal. These are more than just I am. It means I am. Did you hear that? I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. I am the light of the world. These are who Jesus is, and he's letting us in on some things. Why? Why is he telling us these things? He's telling us because he has become the entrance point. Remember, he was the gate. He is the entry point, but he's also the mediator between God and us. Adam and Eve got it all wrong. They messed up. They sinned. Not that we're much better. We've all sinned and fallen short. However, I'm definitely looking to have a good conversation with Eve when I get there. I'm just wondering what that really looked like. You know, how long was it that you were tempted? Was it one day? Was it one week? Was it one year? I just have some very good questions. Eve probably sits at a desk in heaven just waiting for questions all day. Bless her heart. I'm just saying, but this is what Jesus did. He became to be that mediator so that you and I could have a right relationship with God and give access to you and I. Because we weren't available. We weren't holy enough. We weren't good enough. We weren't pure enough. But Jesus came and laid down his life as the shepherd for you and I. And that's what make us now able to have this relationship. So we're going to start in John. In case you haven't noticed, all the I am statements are in John. And we're spending a lot of time here. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Today, we're going to spend a lot more time in John. As I was working with the Lord this week, or the Holy Spirit, I heard him say, why don't you let the word speak for you? So go like this. Get your fingers ready. If you got a Bible, you're going to need them. Okay? Well, we got a lot to get through. So let's peruse the scriptures and see or prove who Jesus is. We're going to start in the 14th chapter, the first verse, and we're going to go down through 7. Now, this is Jesus speaking as he's comforting his disciples before he goes and leaves them and leaves us the Holy Spirit. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. But Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how will we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Now, Jesus is making a really big statement here. And some of you might be asking, but Pastor Nicole, we kind of heard that about him being the gate, that it was the only way to enter. You're right, but it's not to be confused with what he's saying here, because it says, I am the gate, but you can't go through it. But here it says the gate, remember, was a door or the entrance point. And the entrance point only. When we go in to know what he's saying, when he says, I am the way, it means I am, I'm self-existent, I'm eternal. But the way means a road. I am the road that leads to an end. I am the way is not a destination. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we stop at the way, then we stop at Christ and we go on no further. We stop at the entrance point to salvation. And now we're saved, but that's it. When you're on a road, you're going somewhere, right? So it says that I am the road, and we are walking with him or following him to get to an end. It's an ongoing process. It's not just the entrance point. It's a walking. It's a following. It's a being led by. Remember last week, he is the good shepherd. What does a shepherd do? He leads his sheep, and we follow. So remember, like Nicole is a mother, a wife, a daughter, a great, oh, I'm a Gigi twice. Jilly had the baby. Everyone's well. When I get there after the jail today, we're going to minister at the jail. I'm not going to jail. Whew. When we go to minister at the jail today, I'm going to go home and there's going to be this little baby I get a hold. I'm so excited. Anyways, all well. It's an ongoing, continuous journey, just like I have many names, but I'm still the same Nicole. That's Christ. That's why they're crossing over. That's why when you're on the way, you need the good shepherd. That's why you need the light. That's why you have to go through the gate. You don't get to go through the wide opening. You get to go through Jesus to get where you're going. But remember this, Jesus will lead us to our end, which is eternity. Do you get that? That's the beginning of our end. When we die and we get to heaven, that's the beginning of our ending. Our life is not over. We don't die to lay in the ground and just go back to the ashes. That's not a Christian's end. That's not our end. And so Jesus is showing this with the seven I am statements. Jesus always uses a metaphor when he's talking. Now, I had to look that up because I'm going to be honest, I didn't do real good in English class. But a metaphor is something that sparks your imagination into action. Immediately, it gives you a picture of what it is. So I use, I am the good shepherd. Immediately, you see me with that stick yesterday, last Sunday. You see the shepherd and you realize that he's leading people. Well, the same thing happened here. Let's go to Isaiah 35:8. A lot of your scriptures are going to be in John today, but we're going to do a couple jump arounds. Isaiah 35:8. It says, let's read this. There will be a highway called the Way of Holiness. Did you just see it? Did you just see the highway wrote out for you and I with road signs like you drove on your way here or you'll drive on your way home or you drive to work every day? This is Isaiah prophesying about Jesus. There will be a highway. Woo! A highway with road signs telling us where to go. A highway with lines on the side that when you get over, it goes do, 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 do. Why? To tell you if you don't turn back that way, you're going to go off in the ditch and hurt yourself. Or kill somebody else. Thank God that we're on a highway. And it wasn't that Jesus said, there's the highway. He was the way. He was the one who laid down his life that became the road. That you and I would step through the entrance point to get on the highway. And walk on that highway. And that highway would show us where to go. Remember, you've all watched the movie. We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. What was it? It was a yellow brick road. The yellow brick road was what? It was a road that would lead them to their destination. Jesus is our road. He is the way. And when you and I get on that way, okay, how about this? We've all been at a celebration of life, all of us, where someone said, do you remember the way he or her lived their life? I want to live that way. Did you hear me? I want to live that way. Jesus lived his life in a way that you and I would follow after that. And that highway, that road that he laid his life down and he became for you and I. That way is the right way, and it's holy, and it leads to truth and eternal life. when you and I will follow in that way. He's going somewhere. He didn't just come to die and not show us the way to go. When we get there, when we get to our final destination, do you realize we don't talk about heaven near as much as we should? But do you realize there's no more pain? No more suffering? No more trying to get past the trauma that happened to you and to forgive the person that caused it? No more having to forgive the unforgivable. No more having to let it go. But you get to live life with no pain. I don't even know that you can fathom that. I've tried to just think about that. I think we're born into this world and it's hard to believe that something can be so perfect, so holy, so unscathed. But I'm telling you that when you get there, oh my goodness, are we going to sing with the angels and rejoice in heaven of what's been done? And we are going to be so happy that we came into the gate and allowed the good shepherd to follow, to lead us and to guide us so that we would follow his way that would lead us to truth. Truth. He's looking to lead us to this truth. Listen, some say that all roads lead to God. All roads. It don't matter. We're all searching for something. We're all going to get there. You know, all these different gods, they're really the same God. No, they're not. No, they're not. That's not what Jesus said to us. He didn't. Let's go to Acts 2:12 or 4:12. Look at this. He did not say that at all. He did not say that at all. In fact, he was telling his disciples that he was the exclusive way. There was no other way but him that could go. And I know this sounds weird. I got to say this. I feel like there's someone in their heart that's saying, no, I have family members. No, they're just, no, they really do believe in a greater power. They're going to go to heaven, right? No, they're not. No, they're not. The scripture just told, listen, you don't get the scripture that says what makes you feel good. Do you understand? Noah was on a boat. God had told Noah to build the boat, that he was going to save him and his family. There were people around him that were drowning and dying trying to get on the boat. There's no way they let that boat go off when they realized after a while that this whole place was going to be flooded and that boat's the only way out. Everybody wanted in at that point. The point is that you've been given the opportunity now to come into an exclusive Jesus. He's already told you that I'm giving you grace and I'm giving you mercy and I'm not bringing judgment right now. I'm allowing you to be in a dispensation of grace where I'm going to do the work for you. But there's going to come a time that the doors are going to shut to the ark. And when those doors are shut, there's no one getting in. Your time is now to share. Your time is now to tell the truth to your family and to your friends. And I'm not telling you that you have to be angry. I'm not telling you that you got to be mean. What I'm telling you is that you need to do it in love. But judgment is coming. And if you don't believe it, then you haven't met truth. Because that's what this Bible is truth. And sometimes it gives an exclusive, only one way to see it. And there are no other ways. Let me tell you, who your God is not is a sharing God. He don't share his glory with no one, no thing, or nothing. No other God shall be put before me. I'm the one that's going to be, Jesus is the one that's going to be exalted. Our God, our Father, he's the one that's going to get all the glory. Not all these little gods. Acts 4:12. Let's get there. I got to stay on point. It says salvation is found in no one. Oh, wait. Let me go to this one. There is salvation in no one else! Exclamation mark. In my Bible. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Let's go to Hebrews. We're going to let the word talk. Let the word talk. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the 9 verse. I'm going to give you time to get there. If not, it's on the screen. 19 and 20, I'm sorry. It said, I hear some pages still. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Remember how I told you he was our mediator. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. You think that's odd that it says Jesus opened a new and life-giving place? A life-giving way. Do you think that maybe Jesus opened up and became the gate first? And became a new way of living? There it is, proves it again. Listen, Jesus is not a way. He is the way. Did you get that? He's not a truth that you get to write. It's already been written. He is the truth. He's not a way of life or a source of life. He is the only source of life in your and I's life. That's it. Let's go to John 1. Oh, this is so good. This makes my heart so full. John 1. Now we're going to stay in John. You just get to move around in John. It's going to be easy, I promise. John 1, 14 through 18. Look at this. It said, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That was Jesus. The only one of the Trinity is Jesus that became human. He became flesh. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, or God, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus. Now, John testified concerning him, and he cried out, saying, this is the one that I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. In other words, Jesus was there before John was ever born. And John was just doing the work of the Lord. But he knew that Jesus was coming, and Jesus was going to be in human form, and he was going to baptize the earth. How did he know that? You know what? I don't know. He just didn't know that. I don't have the answers to everything. Obviously, when Elizabeth had John, he leapt in her stomach. So there had to be the Spirit of the Lord was with him for him to know. For the law, it said, out of his fullness, Jesus's fullness, we have all received grace in the place of grace already given, which was grace in the Old Testament. For the law was given through Moses. This was when they did sacrifices, when they had to honor and obey every single rule. And God said, that's not happening because they're failing royally. So I'm going to write the truth on their hearts. It said, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Now, I'm telling you that. Why? Because it says that Jesus is full of grace and truth, and that Jesus, though he came in flesh, is the same as God. He's a representation. He came to earth to show you and I what God was like. So God is full of grace and truth. The two of them. Okay? The two of them. Now, let's go to, 1 John. Sorry, another John. This is all the way back to the back of your Bible. Right before the last book, Revelation. That'll get you there quick. The 5th chapter and the 20th verse. Look at this. Oh, so beautiful. It says, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. So Jesus comes that you and I may know the truth. Remember the scripture? I think it's Romans 8:32, maybe somewhere around there, says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You shall know him. His name is Jesus, and he will set you free. But it goes on further to say, not just did Jesus come so that you could understand truth, but he came, and when you get saved, you are now in Christ. So you are walking in truth, and Jesus is showing you the true God who is truth, which will lead us into true eternal life. This is beautiful for you and I. What's he saying? Same thing he said from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. It was full of grace and truth. And I did this to show you what God the Father looks like. He is truth. There is no lie in him. There is no evil in him. Jesus became that way for you and I to lead us in the truth. Not because he told us the truth, because he is the truth. The way he lived his life is truth. And you and I can look at his life and see truth. It's holiness. It's beautiful. Jesus is unchanging. It's necessary for you to know that. Truth is absolute. Truth is not changing ever, ever. This is who Jesus is. He was this yesterday. He was today. And he is forever. The truth of your gospel does not change. So when someone says to you, "Oh, I've found something new in the scripture," my ears perk up. Is it new to you, or is it new because no one's found that revelation before? Because I have a really hard time believing that the Holy Spirit is revealing new revelations never been seen before in a Bible that's thousands of years old for you and I to say, "Oh, this is a new way." No, what that means is that that's a way that you've come up with that you want me to believe so that you think you're more knowledgeable than anyone else in the world. I'm going to be real with you. That's not the way God works. He's revealed himself to man yesterday, today, and forever. You can go back to the Old Testament. He's revealing the same thing he's revealing today to you, that he is the highway. And then he comes over from Isaiah. Generations before, prophets of old that you and I are supposed to study and hang our hats on at the end of the day. Let me just say, not prophets of today. You're not meant to study their word. You're not meant to take that prophetic word and make it gospel. This is the gospel. This is the prophetic word that God wants you to hang your life upon right here. And Isaiah said that there's a highway of holiness, and he will show you the way. Amen. I don't need anyone telling me a new revelation to show me the way. I got the Bible showing me the way. And Jesus came to lay his life down to be the way for you and me. And in that way, he is the truth that will show me all things. And he didn't go away to not leave me somebody, but he sent the Comforter and the Holy Spirit who teaches us all things, but he's not teaching you anything that don't line up with the word that's already been written. There's no prophet that you can follow that if it doesn't line up with the word of God. You know, it amazes me how many of these prophetic things that come out that are gray. They're right down the middle so that you can't hang them and say you're a heretic, but you can't prove that it's true either. You just got to keep it right in this gray area. You know what that's called? Not the truth. If I have to think if it's the truth, it's not the truth. Who cares what the prophets of today are saying if the word's already told you the beginning to the end? Why is it that we need to hang on a man man's word instead of the word that's been written by God, that's been tried, that's been true, that's been proven our whole lives, yet we're pining after the words of a man or a woman. Why? Have we become so shallow in our faith that we don't believe the written words of God? Come on. Come on, church. You're better than that. There's coming a day and a time and an age that your truth is going to be challenged. You know, someone posted the other day something about AI and that there were going to be AI church services and that you could choose which service you wanted to attend. Do you want the guy voice? Do you want the girl voice? Do you want to hear a greasy grace message or do you want to hear a full of faith message? And you just choose what you want, and AI adapts to what your needs are. Let me tell you something. God didn't write the word based on what you wanted or what you needed. He based the word on what you needed for eternal salvation, for what you needed to get to eternity. He didn't make the road signs the color you want, the size you want, the distance you want. He made the road signs to show you which way to go. Get in your car and go. And don't worry about what you want. Church, it's not about what satisfies your desire. God tells us to set aside the carnalness of your life and live by the Spirit of God. Let Him be our truth. Let Him be our life. And when you find yourself dry on the inside, when you find yourself that you don't have the answer you need, that you would not turn on YouTube, that you would not go to the next podcast of who you think might have the inside of what's happening, but that you would turn to the word, and that you would say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm not turning on that news. I'm not concerned about what's happening. I'm not concerned what the nuclear situation looks like. I'm not concerned about the death clock that's been turned back or turned forward. I don't care. What I know is that in all things with God, I am held in the palm of His hand. Church, this is our strength. This is our truth. This is what we depend on and we live our life for. Beware of those saying they know the truth. Whew, He is our truth. It says that He's the source of all life. Let's go to John 10:17. John 10:17. We read this when we talked about being the good shepherd, but it's good to read again. It says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord, for I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This command I received from my Father. Jesus isn't giving us life just by itself. He is the life. He has the authority to lay life down and pick it back up again. It's not that He's just, you know, well, whatever my Father says is what I do. No, the Father gave Him the authority to do it. And He is the source of all of our life. You ready for this? Physical and spiritual. Physical and spiritual. Let's go over to John 14:19. What am I doing? I am giving you the word that will prove all things to you. It says in the 19th verse, before long, this is Jesus speaking, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In other words, when I'm resurrected because of that resurrection, I have life. When I am in you, you too have that life. It said, look, let's just go a little bit further. It says, because I live, you will also live. On that day, what day? You will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. I'll tell you, on resurrection, when the Holy Spirit comes and lives with you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Church, God is showing us the way and the truth. Jesus is saying that when you love my Father and you keep his commands, that is the highway that comes out of truth, which leads to eternal life. When you do the commands that Jesus has asked us to do, when the truth, remember, he's talking about revealing the Holy Spirit. What did I tell you before? That he is the one who reveals all things. You ever notice when you hear a mistruth that inside you something goes, I don't know about that. What is that? That's the revealer of all truth. That's your knower knowing that that isn't right. That's your ears perking up in the spirit. Saying, no, I don't think that's right. And what's that do? That drives you to your word to find out truth. And then the Holy Spirit starts to reveal things to you, line upon line, precept upon precept, and starts to teach you the word. Why? To keep you safe, to keep you on the way, to keep you in the truth. Why? So you can get to the destination, which is eternity with God. Last scripture we close. John 5, 24 through 30. Well, see, that wasn't too bad. Your fingers aren't bleeding, are they? I hope what you do is I hope you go back this week in your precious study time with the Lord. I hope that you go back to some of these scriptures and look at the full context of what God is saying. There's only so much time in a Sunday and so many scriptures that you can even perceive and probably checked out 5 scriptures ago. But if you'll go back and let these sit in your heart, listen, it's not okay that you know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Why? Why? What does that mean for me today? What does that mean that he's the way? Well, it means that when anyone else says there's a different way other than Jesus, that if you just pay $2,000 and read this book, you can get to the next step of religion. And then you get healing. Then you get this inner wholeness that you just didn't know about. You can say, no, Jesus is free. But it will cost you everything. It'll cost you your way of living. It'll cost you your ideologies. It'll cost you your pride. It'll cost you the way you want to be carnal. And he says, nope, you're not going to live like that no more because you rep me. And when you rep me, I am holy. So be ye holy as I am holy. No, geez, we're not going there. 5:24 through 30. All right. It says, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking again. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. Death of your old way and life into your new. And I assure you that the time is coming, indeed, it's here now, when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live. The Father has life in himself and has granted this same life-giving power to his Son. And he's given him authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man. Don't be so surprised. Indeed, this time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil. Did you hear that? Continued not on the road, not in the way, not in the truth to get to this life, but those who continue in their evil will rise to experience judgment. I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just. There's no going back once he judges. It will be just, and it will be done, and the door will be shut. Because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. Church, he's not a way. He's the way. He's the truth, not a truth. And he is the only source of life. Please stand to your feet this morning. I came to the church this morning, and I was reminded by God a second time, let my word speak. Let my word speak. I know we read a lot of scriptures, but it says that his word would go forth and transform us. There's some of you that need to understand. You've been struggling with some things in your life that you're like, I don't understand why I can't do that. Because it's not the way to truth. Jesus says it's not the way to truth. There's some of you that aren't wanting to lay down places in your life because you feel that you know better and what to do. I'm telling you, his way is better. There's a way that seems right unto man, but it leads to destruction. Some people say, just follow your heart. It'll lead you in the right way. No, it will not. The heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Jesus's heart was not. And his hearts who were following after. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes this morning. We give an altar call every single Sunday in hopes that we might catch some fish that have jumped in the boat. But Jesus wants to make you a true fisherman of souls. Jesus wants to bring you into his house. Jesus wants to make you, to make me into something that I could not be on my own. To make me into this person that would rep him well. Some of you have been running from God for a long time. Some of you have issues that you think God can't possibly undo what you've done. That he can't save someone like you. God can save us all. God said that we've all sinned and fallen short. I've sinned. You've sinned. We've all sinned. And some of us more than others, but that doesn't stop the grace of God from saving us where we are. I'm going to go to a jail today where there are women that are repeat offenders, and they keep coming in week after week after week after week. There might be one, there might be 20, there might be two, there might be four. I don't know how many is going to be there, but what my message to them today is, there is no thing, no one, not a sin that you've committed that God's not bigger than. If you find yourself in the need of a Savior today, then I'm going to ask you to be bold in this setting. We're on the week before Easter. If you do it now, you definitely won't be the spectacle on Easter Sunday. If you'd like to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, can you raise your hand for me today? No eyes, no looking. Nah. Little girl with a heart full of Jesus right there. Every time Jesus is offered, she wants him. I like that. Anyone else? Yes, I see your hands in the back. See those two? Yes. Praise God. Anyone else that would be bold enough to say, this is me? I want to serve Jesus today. Everyone say this prayer with me today. Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Show me the way. Reveal all truth. And give me abundant life. Holy Spirit, teach me right from wrong. Devil, I'm not living for you. No longer. You don't have a place. in my life. I believe in you, Lord. I believe in your death and resurrection. And I receive that life in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, those that gave your life to Christ back here in this corner, I want to meet with you after church. I want you to be bold enough to come right down here and meet me after church. But church, I don't want us to miss this opportunity in our own lives to say that there might be a place in our lives that we've kind of gotten off that road at a roadside rest. And we've kind of went over here and we're like, you know, we're just going to take a little break from the road. Because sometimes it can be a little hard and choppy. You're right, it can. But I promise you, get back on the road. There's no speed limits with God. You can go 2 miles an hour, you can go 4 miles an hour, you can go 90. As much as you want is as much as He'll give. But get back on the road. Get back in the way that He made for you. Amen? Father, we give you our lives today. Father, we say, here we are, God, for you to use and to move through. God, I'm asking you, Lord, right now, any untruth in this church's life, God, I'm asking you to rip it up out of their hearts. I'm asking you to magnify it and say, I need that to go in their life. In the name of Jesus, I'm speaking to lies that the enemy has sowed into your lives to tell you that the way that you've been living is okay. God's looking at you saying, you know that's not right. God, I'm asking you, Lord, to reveal it all. God, we want to meet you in eternity. And we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And Father, if you don't come before I die, I want the best seat in the house. I think those going up are going to get the best show. Father, I want to be taken up by you and brought into that house where there are many rooms. Father, keep our hearts right. Keep our minds true and stayed upon you. And Father, anything that would come along the way to try to distract us, Holy Spirit, I just ask you to reveal it so we can remove it and be in your plan, in your way, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Church, I love you. Next week is Easter. Don't forget, you cannot lie to me or to God. He heard you say you would invite someone to church. Be sure that you invite them. All right, love you, and we will see you on Easter.